Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon basis this morning continues from our readings in St. Matthew. We read in chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, there are people who are deathly afraid of water. Or, as they put it, it's not so much that I'm afraid of water, it's that I'm afraid to drown. I heard that this morning on the news when they were talking about people caught up in the floodwaters down there in Houston. There are some people who the very thought of water filling their lungs and suffocating them is terrifying almost beyond belief. The summer before I started high school, two of my close friends drowned within a week of each other in separate lakes up in Michigan. I remember at their funerals, we were talking about how such a thing could happen to such strong, tough guys. Before he was an apostle, Peter was a fisherman. In those days, as now, commercial fishing is a dangerous occupation. No doubt, Peter was a strong, tough guy. But being a fisherman, he had a healthy concern and fear about drowning. A healthy fear and concern about water. So we would conclude on that basis that it took a lot of faith and no small amount of courage when Jesus said, "Come," for Peter to step out of the boat onto the lake and walk toward his Savior. Peter exhibited that great faith in God's command, but when he lost sight of Jesus, when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked around at his attendant circumstances, he began to sink. The only thing that saved Peter from going under the waves and drowning was nothing that he did, but rather that immediately Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed a hold of Peter and pulled him up out of the waves and put him back into the boat. Like Peter, Jesus' hand holds us safely, so that we do not drown. We see first that we are within Jesus' sight, and secondly, that we are within Jesus' reach. As Snoopy likes to write, it was a dark and stormy night. Jesus had stayed behind on land after teaching to go off by himself to pray, and he had sent the disciples ahead on the boat to cross the Sea of Galilee. We learn from the other gospel writers that they were about out in the middle of the lake. I think it's Mark that says they were about 3.5 miles from shore. That's the distance roughly from here to 465. And while they were out there, a sudden storm blew up, and Mark does say that Jesus saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. They were in peril. Now, Jesus loved them. Jesus had big plans for them after he ascended into heaven. So no mere storm was going to defeat those plans. No mere storm was going to take his disciples away from him. So Jesus, in love and compassion, set out across the Sea of Galilee in a miracle of walking on the water. The disciples, when they first saw him and believing in a spiritual kingdom, thought that Jesus was perhaps a ghost or a demon or a phantasm. And so they were afraid of this vision coming toward them on the water. God's word, Jesus' word, dispelled that fear. Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "It is I" is translated in Greek literally, "I am." It's the same name that God gave to Moses when Moses asked, "Who should I tell the people of Israel sent me?" Jesus says, "I am. I am the one true and living God. I am your Savior and your Lord, who is coming to you in love. You are within my sight. I see you. I see what's happening to you. I have plans for you. And so I am coming to you to take care of you." That name gave courage to Moses when he went to Pharaoh. That name gave Elijah courage when he went to the northern kings of Israel. And that name gave Peter courage to obey Jesus' command. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you," and the idea of "if" there is "since" or "because." He wasn't questioning whether it was Jesus. He was simply saying, "Lord, because it's you, or since it's you, and I trust you to take care of me, tell me to come to you." And so Jesus said, "Come." And so Jesus had Peter within his sight, and Peter, having Jesus in sight, stepped out of the boat in courage and began to walk toward his Savior. Jesus had Peter within his sight and was watching over him as Peter did this. Jesus' eye is on the sparrow. Jesus' eye is on every one of us. Jesus sees us. He knows our needs. He invites us to come to him. He invites us to rely on him for courage, for strength, to expect a miracle, to do the seemingly impossible. And we do it. And we step out in faith because Jesus has us within his sight. Jesus' eye is on us, and he's watching over us. Jesus always sees us and our attendant circumstances, no matter how hard the winds of trouble might blow against us. Jesus has us within his sight and sees us, no matter how much the waves of the temptations to sin want to drown us and pull us under in unbelief. Jesus, the great I Am, sees us and he comes to us. He comes towards us to deliver us. Now, sometimes we recognize that, don't we? But not always. There are times when God delivers us and takes care of us that we don't even know that he was doing it, or don't even know that he did it. And often he sees us and through his servants, the holy angels, takes care of us and gives us provisions and protection. See, Christian courage is not so much due to the fact that Jesus is within my sight. Christian courage comes from the fact that Jesus has me in his sight, that he sees me and cares for me and watches over me. And then he calls me, come, step out in faith. And like Peter, in response to his command in faith, we come. Jesus walked toward us when he walked to the cross. When he walked the Via Dolorosa under the heavy weight of that beam on which he would hang. Jesus walked out to that cross with us within his sight to suffer and die to pay for our sins. And now he says, come. Come to me. Step out to me in faith in the midst of all circumstances, knowing that my eyes are on you and that I will take care of you. And now we step out, fully expecting miracles, especially as we stepped toward him this morning, fully expecting the miracle of the forgiveness of our sins in the absolution. As we come and walk and step to the Lord's Supper, fully expecting to receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus had Peter also within his reach when Peter began to sink. Note well, Peter did not reach out and grab Jesus so that he didn't sink. Jesus reached out and grabbed Peter so that he didn't sink. With a deep sense of guilt and sin and the fear of death, when Peter saw that he was going to sink and drown, he called out, Lord, save me. We cry out, don't we, when we're sinking, when our consciences burden us because of our sins, when we take our eyes off Jesus and look at our blowing and high waves of attendant circumstances and think, this is it, I'm done. Or the devil tries to convince us that somehow Jesus doesn't see us, or somehow that we're not within Jesus' reach and that we're going to drown. And that's why Jesus held up the mirror of the law to Peter and even holds it up to us. The Lord answered Peter's prayer. The Lord reached out and grabbed Peter and saved him from drowning. But then he said to Peter, oh, you of little faith, Why did you doubt? Peter could only think to himself, it's because I'm a sinner. It's because I lost sight of you, Lord. It's because I began to rely on myself. And then fear began to overtake me. I began to doubt and I had little faith because, Lord, I'm not perfect. And if I have to be perfect, then I'm in big trouble. But, Lord, you reached out and you saved me. We are within Jesus' reach. Our Redeemer reaches out to us in the gospel, in word and sacrament. Jesus reaches out when we cry out in the guilt and burden of our sin, Lord, save me. Our Lord Jesus reaches out his hands, the same hands that he extended on the cross, to forgive our sins, to keep us from losing our faith, to keep us from losing our eternal salvation. We, yes, are within Jesus' reach as he comes to us in his word, and we also cry out to him in our prayers. Now, Jesus answers our need for spiritual life immediately, just like when Peter said, Lord, save me, immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him. He didn't say, well, Peter, I'm going to let you bob up and down for a while and really think about what you're doing. And I'm going to really ask you to really look inside of yourself to see if you really want me to save you. Immediately, Jesus reached out and he saved Peter. And so he does for you and me. When we cry out in repentance, Lord, save me, the Lord reaches out in the gospel and saves us and forgives us and strengthens our faith. Now, sometimes when we pray to the Lord for other things, it doesn't always come quite that quickly, does it? Sometimes it does, but sometimes the Lord says, I want you to wait a little while. I'm going to have you think about it. Rely on me. Be patient. I'm going to teach you patience. We sang in the hymn, I'm going to burn off some of that dross from the silver and gold that is your faith. But you're within my sight. Don't worry. You're within my reach. In my time, I'll extend my hand and grant you what is best. But most of all, dear friends, in the hour of death, don't think about how strongly you are holding on to Jesus. Instead, think about how strongly Jesus is holding on to you in the word and in the sacrament. I mean, think even when a little child, when you're walking along with a little child, and that little child says, well, Dad or Mom, I'm holding on to your hand tightly so that I don't fall. Really, who's holding on to whom? It's not generally the child who is holding on to the parent's hand. It's the parent whose hand is holding tightly onto the child so that the child doesn't fall. In the hour of our death, we pass through safely to eternity, not because we are holding on to Jesus, but because through word and sacrament in the promise of Christ, Jesus is holding on to us and will carry us safely back into eternal life, back into his kingdom of glory. Peter did not drown because Jesus reached out and pulled him back into the boat. Yes, Peter had foolishly taken his eyes off Jesus and fear stormed his heart. Yes, he cried out for help. And yes, Peter never forgot what Jesus did for him. And think of the times that Jesus did the same thing other times for Peter. Remember when Jesus told Peter, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die? And Peter said, Lord, no way. I'm not going to let that happen. And Jesus said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Satan's sifting you like wheat, but I have prayed that your faith does not fail. Peter remained a Christian because the Lord prayed for him and the word held on to Peter's faith. You are within Jesus' reach. He keeps you from spiritual death. He keeps you safe in the winds and waves of trouble, temptation, and sin. And when we fall, when we foolishly look away from Him and look instead at our attendant circumstances, He reaches out with the gospel and saves us. Safe again with Him in the kingdom of God, we worship Him with the disciples and say to Jesus, truly, You are the Son of God. Amen.